I'll start with just an overview of the attorney-client privilege, and you guys probably all, generally speaking, know what that is, so I'll cover that quickly. Talk a little bit about how the attorney-client privilege works in the context of investigations, and in particular, internal investigations. Talk about how the privilege works when you're dealing with affiliated entities. What the common interest doctrine is and how it is defined, which is more narrow than I think a common understanding of it. Talk about how advisors and consultants come into play in connection with the attorney-client privilege and when they can be included in a conversation and when they cannot. Talk about how the attorney-client privilege works in the context of a merger or an acquisition and who owns it afterwards. And then touch on the differences in the attorney-client privilege around the world, and then end by talking about some best practices to the extent we haven't already talked about them. So I will start with an overview of the attorney-client privilege. As you all know, the attorney-client privilege protects a communication made between privileged persons in confidence for the purpose of obtaining and providing legal assistance to the client. Courts typically construe this privilege narrowly, primarily because what this is it's a mechanism to keep somebody else from looking at documents that would otherwise be relevant to litigation. So this issue comes up in the context of litigation sometimes 6 months down the road, sometimes 4 years down the road after the particular document or communication was created. And the question is, in the context of this litigation, this document, this communication, that would otherwise be clearly relevant to the litigation or the dispute, can you protect it and withhold it from discovery, or do you need to turn it over?